Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And yeah, it's the right time to thank Matthias Angala. It's the right time to thank Matthias Angala. And this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. We are greeting you. We are greeting you. It's the 4th of September, 2025. And it's 12 minutes past the hour of 6. And we are here until the hour of 8 a.m. And this is your morning economic development conversational program. And this is a platform that we discuss business, we discuss economics, we discuss policies, we discuss governance, trade, international relations, and everything that affect the bread and butter issue, everything that affect the bread and butter issue. Yeah, we are greeting you wherever you are finding yourself. Some of you, you are at the gym. Some of you are still sleeping. Some of you are on your way to work. Some of you are returning actually from work to home. And some of you, you don't really have a clear plan to say, what am I going to do today? How is tomorrow looking like? And what are some of the plans that I have? But what is very important is that when you wake up, that is already a victory. Victory number one, that is when you wake up, that is already a victory, because other people of your age, maybe who had also great health and also better talented, did not wake up today. Did not wake up today, you must put that in mind, but the fact that you wake up and you also have a clear mind is that you can do anything that can contribute to the development of the country, either in terms of human development, either in terms of infrastructure development or economic development of this country. That's why we are always indicating to you that it's always good to have a plan. A bad plan is better than no plan. And it's always very crucial to put that in mind, because the fact that you wake up and look ahead, that is, it means that in terms of where Namibia has to go, you must be one of those people who participate in shaping Namibia. Because, you know, what is very interesting is that with all the challenges that we have in the country, this is the only country that we must be very proud of, and this is the only country that we must also fix in terms of, instead of blaming each other or fighting here and there. But we must know that the failure of Namibia is also our failure. That's why with power that we have at our own places that we find ourselves, we must bring about these discussions of governance, discussion of policy planning, policy implementation, and also discussions about how do you deal with a system that is very difficult to produce what we want. So how do we deal with it?
Super bargains await you at USave, where you pay for the product and not the brand. Pay only 139.99 Namibian dollars for selected Lovie's premium disposable nappies, 36.99 for 1 kilo Mama's high foam hand washing powder, 750 milliliters Sunlight dishwashing liquid for only 32.99 Namibian dollars, and palm olive shampoo and conditioner for 34.99 Namibian dollars each. You save, I save, we all save at USave.
My friend, why? Yes, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. I was indicating to you that, you know, this is the only country that we have, and the failure of Namibia is also our failure. That's why we are always indicating to say, wherever you are finding yourself, whether you are finding yourself at a place, whether you are finding yourself at a community meeting, whether you are finding yourself at a boardroom discussion, you are finding yourself in a taxi, let us also try to find ways on how to bring about these discussions of development, not only discussion of gossiping to say, no, who is sleeping with who got married here, who did not make a right choice here, but let us have a real discussion that, because ask yourself this question to say, how many discussions have you engaged into, let me say, from yesterday, and how many of those are contributing anything to your life? Then you understand that in most cases we spend our time speaking about really things that, yes, are part of life, but really are not contributing anything to our life. They are not even part of the main, and they are taking up space of important things that we need to discuss about. Even advice related to education, advice related to investment, advice related to financial literacy, financial inclusivity, and also understanding opportunities around issues related to politics, economy, leadership, governance, and all those things. And also issue related to community development, how we can assist each other here and there. But if we just continue to have conversations like basic conversations, or just conversation about whether, conversation that are really based at the basic level, will not change anything. That's why this program is here for you. This program is here for you, so that we can discuss about these issues. We can also educate one another, and we make sure that we make meaning out of discussions that we are having, because we are always inviting everybody. We are always inviting everybody, to our policymakers, to our researchers, to our business people, particularly SME operators, because those are the one who are holding the economy. Because if you remove SME from a picture, if you remove SMEs from the picture, then you don't have an economy which is sustaining the people, because these are things that we need to speak about. And our regulators, our academicians, NGOs, and everybody who must be catalyst of development, as per the calls of our Commander-in-Chief, the President of Namibia, to say every human being must be the catalyst in this development, because the government cannot do it alone, private sector cannot do it alone. These are now things that we need to bring about. So that's why we're always indicating to you that after every conversation that we bring about, you have a right to exercise your democratic right and call in the studio, so you can ask your questions and also give your contribution. Yeah, before we go to what we have on the table today, it's always important. It's always important to make sure that we are indicating you how to get connected with us. You can connect with us at Eagle FM Namibia, like and share our page on Facebook, X, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And when you do that, you bought yourself a free luxury of accessing economic and statistical data, and also information related to governance, politics, trade, food security, innovation, and technological development. So that's why we are always indicating to you that like and share our page, because when you do that, those who are following you will also be able to follow us, and we can see how we can give you right content-based information on time that will also assist you in making decisions and also seeing the world. So the other thing is also that we have the Villager newspaper. That is an e-paper which is coming out every Monday morning, Wednesday, and Friday. And the beauty of the Villager newspaper is that the content of the Villager newspaper is economic, is development, is trade, is governance, is international relations, and also aspect that, aspect that that are related to development, and also aspects that are related to decisions which are made by, you know, political decisions that have impact on our life. That's why we are always indicating to you that subscribe to the Villager newspaper. Subscribe to the Villager newspaper by making sure that you send your name. To this number and save it as your WhatsApp contacts at 081-241-44, 081-241-44. And when you do that, save that as your WhatsApp contact detail every Monday morning, every Wednesday morning, and every Friday we'll be able to update you. So that's why we are always saying, no, if you are a researcher, you are a student, why should you not have the Villager newspaper as part of your sources of information? When you get that, what we are indicating to you that when you read about what is happening around you in terms of governance and in terms of economics issues, it's more easier for you to expand those information. It's more easier for you to go deep into the research about tips that you have get or information that you have got or stories that you have read, and then you can expand from that, because we are always trying to make sure that we give you up-to-date sources, new development in the economy, statistics, and current reports, that if you are a researcher, it's going to be easy for you to expand from there. So do that. Like and share the page of the Villager newspaper, then it will make your life easier. And yeah, you can also download our Eagle FM app. Download our Eagle FM app. A lot of people are downloading the Eagle FM app, because if you cannot hear us in your on your frequency, do not worry. If you cannot hear us on your frequency, or sometimes it's coming and going, or there's a fluctuation in that, we are telling you to say, people are developed, people are civilized, they are using a digital platform. And in the world of digitalization, where people are using phones to transfer money, phones to do their investment, phones to, you know, to do to work actually, and also communicate, what we are indicating to you is that we have Eagle FM app. We have an app that you can download into your phone, the same way you have WhatsApp into your phone. You can just go to Play Store, you download the Eagle FM app, then you can have access to Eagle FM, radio. You listen to the program which are on air, wherever you are finding yourself. So the moment you just open it, you'll be able to listen to the programs which are on air, and also to the previous programs that you have missed through our open archive. That is a podcast. And you can go there and listen to the programs that you have missed at your own time and at your own pace. And yeah, you can also advertise with us. You can advertise with us. Talk to me, Monica Ipinge. Call us, in our office number. Talk to me, Monica Ipinge, so that you'll be able to buy airtime on air, so that you can advertise your product, you can advertise your business. You can also advertise with the Villager newspaper. Then you have access to the digital market. You have access to the digital market, to the digital world, where you have opportunity and chance to get clients around the world. Because when you advertise with the Villager newspaper, for example, those who read and also those who listen, they will be able to see. Even if you have a client in UK, because a digital environment is not limited. That's why we are always indicating to you that money invested in advertisement is money on your way, or money on the way to come back to you at a profitable amount. So do that, and you will not miss out. And the last three, before we go to what we have on the table, it's always important also to download Imba app. That is an app which is a digital version of a hymn book. That is your Ehangano, Shwambo. Then you have Maimburiro, Chierero. Then you have Afrikaans, you have Silozi, English, and many other local Namibian languages. So take time, go to App Store, go to Play Store, download Imba app, and you will not worry about losing a hard copy hymn book, because the digital version is there for you at various Namibian languages. So download Imba app, download the Eagle FM app, and make your life easier. So it's 25 minutes past the hour of 6. It's 25 minutes past the hour of 6, and you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and we'll be here until the hour of 8. And today in the studio, I'll be joined by Nino Menovari. This Kanyoka Mkwanyoka, you know him very well. Join me in the studio, and we'll speak on the content of the topic that we are going to have today. But for now, let us look at what we have, particularly from the Global Fund. What is happening at the Global Fund? What is happening? A lot of things have been happening. We see China was parading you know, a strong military might. And every leader, I understand, they were on their TV looking at the strength and the power of China and also the global alliance. But we are going to look at this news a bit later. But let us look at the commercial break, then we dive into it.
Great news! Import just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Yes. Yes, we are moving forward. We are moving forward. For those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And yeah, let us start with what is happening around the world. What is happening around the world before we come to the continent Africa, and also look at our own country. What is happening around the world? Because yesterday, the world was amazed. Was amazed, especially when China paraded one of the strongest, militaries in the world, military, and that was seen as a showing of strength. We have seen the ceremony, which was done with the reason of celebration of 80th anniversary of defeating Japan. 80th anniversary of defeating Japan, because if you go into history. If you go to history, you'll be able also to understand that at one point Japan was a very strong country. It's a very strong country in Asia, which even colonized China, if you go back into history. And at one point, Japan was invading China and took resources and also some of the land due to expansion. And what is very interesting is also that, it was a very difficult situation for China, but they finally managed to defeat Japan, and that is 8 years ago. And you also need to remember that Japan also have even came to United States of America at one point to make sure that they fight on the American ground. We see a lot of... there was a devastating attack For those of you who follow history, until to the point where the United States decided to end it with two atomic bomb, which was not really the something that supposed to be celebrated, because one thing that you need to know about Japan, although it's seen as a quiet country, and they decided to rebuild themselves, but looking at China, they decided to parade one of the the military. And what is very interesting with this news is not about Chinese military, it's also about where the world is positioned, where the world is positioned to see who are the new powers, who are the new emerging power in terms of the world, who are the new emerging power in terms of the world, because throughout civilization, mankind, there has always been somebody who try or to be on top, or there has always been a leader who is in charge of, either have strength militarily, economic. That's why you understand how empires have been, empires came and go. And I think Mr. Franz will be able also to see and also understand or explain more to you, especially when you look at how empires have been. They came and go. Look at the Roman Empire, look at the Ottoman Empire, look at the German Austria Empire. They come, and there is always a new one. And you look at the United States hegemonic power, particularly from the Second World War. I mean, from the First World War, where it has played a crucial role and also strength. But seeing how things are being done, we have seen also one of the interesting thing also at that event is that there was an invitation. There were around 30 head of states there, but the main guest of honors is Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia, and also Kim Jong-un, that is the leader of North Korea. And China paraded one of the most sophisticated weapons that were not even seen. Talk about atomic bombs, talk about new generation of jet fighters, talk about drone squads. Because in the military now, don't just have a Navy, Army, and Air Force. There is a lot of division, because they are saying in China there is around 200 division, different specialists, areas of logistic, drones. Drones have their own squad. You have also those who are dealing with, chemicals and everything. That's why yesterday, it was a very interesting day. And for those of you who were on TV, you were able also to see. But just before we conclude this news, it's also very important also to see what does this mean to the world. Because remember, China is presenting itself as an alternative to the new global economic order. And when you look at the speech also of Chairman Xi Jinping, he indicated confidence in his army to say they are not scared of violence. But they prefer peace. What you need to understand is also that the aim of having a strong military, particularly in the developed world, is not actually to fight, but is to make sure that you also deter your enemy to say, if you push me this way, I can also meet you halfway, and also to protect your economy, and your territorial integrity, and also to protect your territorial integrity. That's why there is always economy and security of the economy, because if you do not have that, if you do not have an army which understand its mission to say our job is to protect the territorial integrity, then it will not work out. Because what is also very interesting is also that this happened actually a day after China hosted Shanghai Cooperation Organization Summit, Shanghai Cooperation Organization Summit, which is also one of the economic alliance, especially with ASEAN countries, economic alliance, which look at new economic order, and also looking at what they pronounce, especially when you listen to the speech of Putin, speech of Narendra Modi, the Prime Minister of India, then you also be able also to listen to the speech of the President of Iran. You have a lot of strong Asian countries there. You also be able to understand that China and his friends, they are actually presenting themselves as an alternatives, and they what is very interesting is also that this also not only present themselves as an alternative, but they look at what is need to be done, particularly in terms of international institutions, and the pronunciation is not to denounce the Western power, but is to look at the institution to say the developing economy must be treated equally, developing world must be treated equally. That's why they were referencing the United Nations Charter, and also looking at the aspect of trading within their local currency, which have proven to increase their GDP against the prediction of IMF. So, something that quite interesting to look at, because when people look at the military, they think military has always been part of the state. Although some people, they look at the defense budget and start to say, no, why everything is set the defense, although there is also need to be integrity and also clarity in terms of how military funds are used. Military is always very important, especially to protect yourself, because you don't know when, at what time, because you must always be ready. That's why a lot of people were shocked. Especially those who did not really understand what was happening, because we have seen drones, we have seen machines, military machines that you think is a dog, but it's a machine that can walk. And just new advancement, very interesting to watch. If you can go to any channel that you can look at too, you can also use YouTube, you can use any channel that you can use, and also follow up on that. It is very interesting, because war, military and economic power, they are very important always. They are very important. It's also the same as you. If you do not have strength, you need to have strength. You don't just need to have money, but you also need to have strength so that you can protect yourself, and you can also handle your properties very well. So I think it's quite interesting to look at a very short a clip of this, particularly when Chairman Xi Jinping is parading or is commanding his military. And what is very interesting, analysts are also indicating that he's also presenting the strength of historic figures such as Mao Zedong, especially when he wear the same suit, or exactly same design that the suit used to be worn by the founder of the new China, And Mao Zedong used to be a very good friend of Namibia, That's why when you listen to the founding father, the late founding father, and it's only that he couldn't be here to see. I think it would be a very interesting also scene to look at, because China and Namibia cannot separate those friends. And that's why the only thing that we need to work out is only on how we do business, especially in terms of how we can also develop, not only to receive, but also to develop. But other than that, that is a very interesting thing. But just want you to listen, especially this short clip. And yeah.
Salute to you, Congress. And the soldiers reply, hail to Chairman. The president then says, comrades, thank you for your hard work. To which the soldiers reply, we serve the people.
Yeah, that was it, especially from China and the world, China to the world. That was it, China to the world. And we are going to enter the observation of the US president later. So, you know, these guys, are they conspiring against the United States? I think it's just a phrase to say, why are these guys at that side? And it's also up to you to see that in the world of international relations, even in the world of economy, the friends, they are always changing. Friends are always changing. There is always a new thing to happen, and there are always interests which are involved. And countries, for a very long time, they have been aligning with the West. But when you look at even in Africa, that's why we are always saying, when we are doing our plans, we must always make sure that we look at where the world is going, how things are being done, and also states are operating, how states are operating. Because if you look at a country like Iran is one of the few countries in the Middle East which have survived for quite a long time, just because it has also decided to have strong friends, or decided also to build its economy on diversification. Also, build its economy on diversification, and it's also build its economy on having friends, around the world. That's why, when you look at Iran and China, they are actually friends. Look at Russia, you look at North Korea, then you also be able to understand, so be able also to understand what is happening, able to understand what is happening, and moving forward. So let us look at Sudan. What is happening in Sudan? And what is happening in Sudan? What are some of the new development, especially in Sudan? And Sudan has been one of those countries that never really see peace. I really see peace because of its natural resources. That's why we are always looking at What are some of the challenges of a wealthy nation? This, it is stated that, the UN peacekeeping missions are facing financial pressure. Especially when it's coming to to protection of civilians, particularly in countries with conflicts such as Sudan, South Sudan, and also the Democratic Republic of Congo. And those were the words of the UN peacekeeping spokesperson. That, you know, Donald Trump last week cancelled 4.9 billion foreign aid, which was already approved by Congress. And they stated that in terms of this, the UN keep, you know, peacekeeping missions in these countries are facing challenges. They will face challenges of finance. And they stated that the U.S. accounts to around 30%, of U.S., UN peacekeeping budget. And that is a huge chunk to the, it's a huge chunk to the budget of UN peacekeeping. It's a very huge chunk. That is why, when it's coming to that news, you'll be able also to see that other countries will be trouble. If you don't have UN peacekeeping, how are you going to survive? How are you going to, survive if you do not have that, protection? And the question that you're asking yourself is that, where is African Union peacekeeping mission, and who is funding African Union? Do we really, is it really important also for African Union to receive funds from outside to run its affairs? Is it really important for that African Union to have funds? Because Africans were supposed to solve their own problems. Yes, we need UN, but what is our role in what is our role as Africans in solving our own disputes? And who is benefiting actually from this from these resources? Because if you are looking very clearly, you'll be able to understand that companies from most powerful nations are the one who are dealing with these things. At the other time, we were talking about new mining rights or new permissions are given to a company owned by Jeff Bezos and also Bill Gates to mine minerals in DRC. And these are some of the richest men in the world with influence and strength. And we are always saying, in every conflicting nations, even in DRC, which is a very, we can regard it as a very dangerous country in terms of doing business into. Those business don't stop. Those mining operations do not stop. Helicopters are just flying. People are taking their things. They don't stop because they make sure that they are come with their private security. But why are we not able to keep peace in Africa, especially to rich nations? Because remember, when you have wealth, you also have those who survive in chaos. And there is no really a poor country in terms of natural resources. No one is interested in you. That's why people, they are just moving forward. And if you have wealth, like Sudan, if they, you have oil, if you have minerals, then you become a problem. Then the question is also that, what can we learn from this? Because you are not immune to these things. When the money of oil is seen, by greed, then you can see how rough men can be in terms of doing business, and also in terms of you know, surviving for himself. And you can also see everybody is watching. So, but that is a discussion of another day. But let us look at this news, then we can be able also to look at what we have for today, particularly in our context, what we have for today. Then we can move forward. Because it's always very important to look at what is happening around the world. Before we come to the conversation, because there is always a link There's always a link between a global perspective and the local perspective, because what is happening around the world is actually local to other people. It's actually local to other people. That's why when people are talking about the whole world, they are talking about you. They think about you. Don't think the whole world is other countries. It's you, actually. That's why it's always very important to see that in terms of how we are connected to the globe, what is happening around us, and what can be done, the way forward. So let us look at this news and move forward.
United States budget cuts could limit United Nations peacekeeping mission's ability to protect civilians in countries like South Sudan and the Democratic Republic of Congo, a UN peacekeeping spokesperson said on Tuesday. U.S. President Donald Trump last week canceled $4.9 billion in foreign aid already approved by Congress. This includes more than $800 million dedicated to international peacekeeping operations. The U.S. accounts for 27% of the UN peacekeeping budget, making it the largest financial contributor. Earlier this year, the White House proposed to eliminate Washington's contribution entirely for 2026, citing the alleged failures of certain missions. There are currently 11 active UN peacekeeping operations, including the MINUSCA in the Central African Republic and the MONUSCO in the DRC. UN member states are obligated to help finance these missions. Donald Trump has drastically reduced US foreign aid since he came back in office. In February, his administration voted to cut foreign aid contracts from the US Agency for International Development by more than 90%. The agency officially closed in July.
Yes, that is what is happening. It's what is happening, especially when you cut the budget of UN peacekeeping mission. Then you understand that those who are going to suffer is women and children, because in any war, women and children are the one which suffer more, although men also suffer at the front line. But just think about it this way. When war starts at a village, there's a pregnant woman with three kids at home, at their shack or at their beautiful house, and a man. When fire started, or when the bullets started flying in the air, the man would just take his coffer, or take his suitcase, jump through the window and run. The woman has to make sure that pack the clothes of the kids, make sure that maybe pick two chicken here and one kagod. Then they are running. They don't know where they are going to end. That's why when you look at what's happening in DRC, look at Central Africa, in most cases, women, they stay behind. Yeah, they stay behind, and some of them, they lose their life on their way because they are caring people. They have to make, some are looking for their kids before they run, but the men just jump through the window. Then you watch news from the other side. And that's why peace is very important. Peace is very important, especially in developing nations. Especially in developing nations. Because in that context, we also need to think differently. And poverty has quite a role to play in conflicts. And these are some of the things that we need to address, especially in our own country, to say, poverty has a role to play in conflict, because when an ordinary individual does not have opportunity and lose purpose, any wind can come and blow up this person. Any ideology can come and blow up this person. That's why we are always saying a person must be fed. The basic needs of an individual must be addressed. And if they are not addressed, there is always chaos. There's always chaos. And a person will not also listen to you when you're understanding, when you're explaining to him or her that, no, it's a political system which is what. Person just wants food to eat and other things. That's why when you look at those countries, children, they are at the war front. Teenagers, they are holding big guns because there's no purpose. And that's why the issue of addressing the aspect of human development is... a vague discussion. It's something which need, is an agent need. Because when you look at what is happening, when you look at what is happening around the world, those who actually have nothing to lose are the ones who are put at the front line. But after the war, who is going to benefit? Somebody else. So it's quite to look at. It's quite to look at, and also to see that U.S. is also protecting herself. And we Africans, we must also stop this thing of looking too much outside for assistance. And I was disappointed actually when one of the presidents went to TICAD in Japan and said, no, we want to develop Africa, but we do not have money. Money is a problem. Then you are just asking yourself, guys, we have a long way to go. We have a long way to go. If somebody can just go there and say we do not have money in Africa, do you know that Africa is the one which is funding the whole world in terms of what we have? And what they say, we do not have money, we do not have skills, and we just say, it's not going to be easy. So, but yeah, it's something that we need to look at. Something that we need to look at. And when other men are falling, we must not laugh. We must find a way to learn, and also understand that that is a case study that we are given in Southern Africa also, to see how can we prevent some of these kinds of things. We have seen what happened in Mozambique. We've seen what's happened in Mozambique. We have seen chaotic activities happening everywhere. We have seen what happened in Angola recently, especially when the price of oil was increased. We have seen what happened, how many people died in a week, how many people. And the problem with us, we forget easily, then we end up confused because we don't have a background data anymore. We just find ourselves in a problem, but there is always things that need agent to be addressed urgently, particularly at the grassroots level, so that we can assist our people to focus on meanings of life. So, in terms of solution to African problems, or to our own problem actually, let us not look outside, but look internal. So yeah, I will be, we are here until the hour of 8 o'clock. We are here until the hour of 8 o'clock. However, you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. So, those are some of the happenings which are happening around the world. Those are some of the happenings which are happening around the world, especially in terms of what countries are doing, positioning themselves. And anything that you are hearing, if you think it does not have value, ask yourself, how is this connected to Namibia? Or what lesson Namibia can learn from this? Or what can I learn from this? Because at the end of the day, when you speak about Namibia, Namibia is not one guy. Namibia is me and also you. And that is it. And when we say government, yes, it's government. But who is government? This is our parents. People are coming from our house. These guys are our parents. It's not government to say these people are just different. You are also a government at some point. That's why in terms of looking at solutions to our problems, we must also address this issue from an individual perspective. Say, what role should I play in this situation? And also, what role other agency can do to assist me moving forward? So, dear listeners, it's 1 minute past the hour of 7. We have around 58 minutes there before we come to the end of our program. And you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And let us pay the bills. Then we look at the conversation for today. What topic are we having for today, especially regarding our education system, where are we in terms of our education system, and how is the future looking like, especially when you speak about free education free tertiary education next year. There is ambiguity there. There is no clear, there is no clarity where the money is going to come from, how the things are going to be like, because people are concerned, because people want to do their PhDs and they want to do their masters, they want to do their honors, they want to do their degree and diplomas and certificate also. However, they are also concerned to say, no, why these institutions are already are still asking for application fee, and they still have their standard. They have their standard in terms of payment and all these things, but there is a pronunciation to say the president did what. Yeah, but and also the aspect also of to say, no, why we are moving to free education? Have we dealt with the problems that we have at home? The problems of graduates, which is not going away. Have we dealt with that already? How are we going to move forward? How is next year looking like? Because when you speak about the next year, you are only speaking about, not to scare you, just 2 months from now. Just 2 months from now. Just 2 months from now. And that is the next year that we are talking about. That is 2026 that we are talking about. So that's why the issue of tertiary education is a very important issue. So let's look at commercial break. And from there, I'll be joined by, you know, Menovari Hangala. That is Kanjengo Kamkwanyoka. Just to shed some lights on this. And also to see what can we do as a country moving forward.
Great news! IMPA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMPA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMPA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMPA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
Yes, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. This is Eagle FM Namibia. 6 minutes past the hour of 7. And we are here until the hour of 8. Today we are speaking about the issue of tertiary education. Speaking about the issue of tertiary education. Especially in the context of, the supply and demand, the context of the supply and demand. One of the identified challenges that Namibia have to deal with is the issue of supplying graduates in the market that is not absorbing them. The issue of supplying graduates in the market that is not absorbing them. And there have been a lot of discussions going on, especially when it's coming to the linking of market demand and also what is being produced by institution of higher learning such as colleges, vocational training centers, universities, and also other training institutions. And we have seen some of the pronunciation. We have seen education graduates marching into the street and also demand this long process of interviewing and also to ask to be integrated into the system and also to improve the method, new methodologies of teaching. And not only that, not only education graduates, we have all different fields of studies, and we also see that the president has also decided also to bring about the various intervention, especially we see the aspect of youth fund, and we also see the pronunciation of free tertiary education. And the question that we're asking ourselves, especially when it's coming to what's going to happen next year, is that when you speak about free tertiary education, this means that you have now an opportunity for people to come and go to university and study for free, which is actually a very good thing. However, have we dealt with the aspect of quality education? Have we dealt with the aspect of quality education? Have we dealt with the aspect of education that will bring change into the market, education of innovation? And our education curriculum in line with the market demand? Do we have that cooperation? And the other also question that we'll ask also, that is what we are teaching at school be able to be used in the market? Is what is being taught being able to be useful in the market? Or we are just becoming an experts of explaining the system, and also expert of being part of the system? Because remember, it's very interesting also to see that when you look at academicians, for example, who are well vested in their theories and you know, presentations, and they are well vested in the academic field, you'll be able also to see that this person become an expert and the master of a system, of either a system of education, a system of governance, and all the perspectives and the reasonings that this person is bringing about will be based on that system. However, all the advice, theories, and prediction, because we, in most cases, we spend the debate in how the system is working, how it should be used, what did you miss, this is the what it means, instead of saying, is this system we are using going to be productive or answering to the human needs? Is this system going to answer to the human needs? Because, you know, I was listening to the ED of the Minister of Finance, actually, yesterday, especially when there was a discussion about basic income grant. And I understand him, because when he presented what the government is doing, particularly in terms of social grants, you also be able to understand that we are a state which are in an economic defensive mode, because look at the expenditure, and also look at where people are standing. Look at the poverty level in Namibia, and also where people are standing. That's why when we are discussing these issues, to say we do not want people to go, we don't want us to go to university and come back you know, ask how is the system operating like, but we want at least to come in and also think differently so we can solve this issue. But we are going to be joined by Ginomenovari Hangala. It's going to join us, and stay tuned. We are here until the hour of eight, and those are some of the things that we are going to discuss about. So
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not...
Yeah. As I indicated earlier, that we are going to be joined by, you know, Meno, our in-house economist, just to help us also unpacking this difficult question, just to see how is next year looking like, what is the current state of our identified challenges, particularly regarding to tertiary education. And also market demand, and also to look at his perspective about this issue. You know, Meno, good morning and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Yes, good morning, David. Thank you for having me.
Yes, let us go straight to it. We have seen that the challenges of supply and demand, especially when it's coming to education at tertiary level and the market, the challenges have been identified. But looking at interventions, do you think much have been done to look at interventions to deal with these issues? So I just want your perspective on that. But just before you answer, let us look at to this commercial break and just stay on the line.
When life gifts you a washing machine that just quit, take control with Express Credit. Borrow up to $32,000. Same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or SMS gift to 32274.
Yes, Sam, it's a question of demand and supply in education. Do you think the challenges which were identified, we came up with better interventions to deal with them, and how is the future looking like?
Yeah, it's quite a very, very complex question.
Yeah.
Even though very relevant in terms of our economic building and the direction that you want to go.
Yeah.
So the first thing is, now you have to look at your NDP 6, the document on the table right now. The document on the table is our blueprint, or is our map, where do we want to go? Then let me just take even two or three things from that to say, we wanted to improve processing, value addition, and agro-processing within the agriculture sector.
Yes, yes.
Then now you ask yourself, do we have the skill set? When we're talking about the skill set, you're just not talking about the horticulture. Horticulture, agronomics, and agriculture economy, this one are okay.
Yeah.
We did well there.
Yeah.
This one are in the farm. Those are in the farm. They're looking at the plant health and yield. Now, when you talk about now processing, you are no more talking about animal husbandry, the people who did animal husbandry, because this one are with the cattle and the veterinary, they are with the cattle.
Okay.
So now when you talk about processing, you are now moving away from the farm, the meat.
Okay.
The meat is going to the cattle are going to the abattoir.
Yeah.
To be slaughtered.
Yeah.
We're talking about now cold storage. We're talking about now transforming the skin, transforming the bone. So you are now talking beyond the farm. So now you ask yourself, if you in the NDP 6, you're saying you want to increase the processing and value addition.
Yeah.
Now you assess from the farm, do you have a capabilities when it comes to cold storage of beef? When it comes to the transformation of animal skins. So when you're talking about skill set, you have to break things like that. Now, from at the horticulture point of view, you have agronomists at horticulture and everybody.
We are
increasing the yield at the farm level. Okay, great. Now the tomatoes have been produced, they are harvested. Now you move. Are the skill now? Are there any research being done? What can we do with these tomatoes? Who is in the, available in the country and the skill set to be able to do any sort of transformation? And what is the transformation looking like? Who are those people? So that is how you look at the skill set. It's no more just a general, we need skills. No. You look at where, with the direction that you want to go. And the direction determines the skill set you need. We are investing in a feedlot in Kunene.
Yeah.
So you do not, you know, back then, the Kwanyamas and Dongas and others, they mostly, I mean, people from the north, they get the cattle headers from Angola and they take them to their cattle post. That model is no more working. We're talking about a feedlot. And if you go to a feedlot, if you go to Namibian dairy farm, you know, those animals are in air conditions. They are being checked. They are being fed differently.
Yeah.
There are machines. There are assessments.
Yeah.
You know, now, if you're going to establish a feedlot in Kunene, and if you're from Kunene, it's very hot in Kunene. That's number one. And remember, we need this type of cattle to reach a certain weight by a certain date. Because the abattoir need the throughput.
So there's a standard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those animals need to be fed and they reach a certain weight by a certain day. So that abattoir in Otapio, in Uskuku can get it animals on time.
Okay.
Yeah, so now you have the minister to assess, do you have the skill set to maintain the feedlot?
No, I think it's actually a very good question because we speak about what you want to do and who is going to do that because we are still training. Because I think if you are saying we want to go to addition of value, we should have already say we have these people because if you are talking about that, I think in the next 5 years we are still going to continue training people because we don't have them yet.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. Okay, there is some partnership between the government and UNAP.
Yeah.
And that is great, especially at the horticulture level.
Yeah.
What they're doing with the rice and NAB. That's beautiful. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with this feedlot, did we take any VTC graduate or VTC manager or NAST manager, IUM, to that feedlot? Did we submit our plan for that feedlot so that IUM can adjust? Because remember, my colleagues from Kunene, they are just going to say, we are going to drop the cattle, we are going to sell. Because remember, in Kunene is one of the biggest producers of cattle.
But
it's affected by climate change, meaning they cannot stay with the cattle for longer anymore.
But
they are very good at supply. That's what back then, that is what people used to buy cattle, especially at the north end. That's what we used to buy cattle. But now, the climate change is affected. So it means they're able to produce winners and able to sell to the feedlot. And because the feedlot has the resources and the capacity, can now feed the winners to whatever level. My colleagues from Omaheke and Ojutundupa are making money from that, the rural farmers.
They
produce winners and they sell to the commercial farmers who are there to feed them.
Now, in terms of where we are, especially what we want to achieve, especially with education, at the scale of maybe 1 to 10, where are we in terms of achieving that plan, or in terms of moving toward that plan of NDP 6, especially when it's coming to addition of value, and not just to sell raw materials?
No, no, I think at this level we cannot even rate ourselves.
Yeah.
We can't even rate ourselves because we have not taken the necessary step. And I'm not actually insulting UNAM, NAST, IUM.
Mm.
I will not even mention the VTC. They have not taken even any single step. Mm-hmm. Because that means introducing certain courses.
Mm.
Those are the steps. But I know UNAM and NAST and IUM have moved somewhere.
Uh-huh.
But in terms of at the TVET level, we have not. We are just talking for now. So we can't rate ourselves. That's what I'm saying. In terms of rating and doing something, it has to align.
Mm-hmm.
We are now talking about solar PV.
Yeah.
I'll give you that example.
Yeah.
China produces 80% of the solar panels.
Yeah.
And most of them are being dumped in Africa.
Yeah.
South Africa has moved into a certain space where they are now actually assembling and producing their own solar. Mm-hmm. And it's not that it started in the 90s. No, 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 no. For the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Morocco
okay.
has scaled up to one giga solar PV production. Why? Because Morocco has the same condition like us, and they are moving in that renewable energy.
Mm-hmm.
So you
mm-hmm.
see the practical steps the countries are taking.
Mm-hmm.
That is
mm-hmm.
when you start rating yourself.
Mm.
We just wrote an article on The Villager to say Namibia is have imported around 22 megawatts or 222 megawatts of solar panel.
Yeah.
Now, there is a market, my G.
I hear you.
There is a market.
I hear you. Now, but, yeah, okay, continue.
Sorry. Continue. No, yeah, no. Just to add. So now, the bigger question is that we are still moving slow in making sure that the solar expertise at the VTC in Rundu, at the VTC in Katima, at the VTC in Omsati are there.
Mm.
It was only one VTC that was offering until now that I think now we have three.
Mm.
So you see how slow we are moving.
Yeah.
We cannot be having document about going renewable and going green. But in terms of skills that we are not following up, and this one is not a government problem anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a UNAM problem. It's a IUM problem. It's a NASA problem.
Mm.
Because these documents are made public. The national agenda is supposed to to dictate even the direction of labor supply.
Mm, 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 mm.
So that's how we're supposed to be moving in tandem, you know, in parallel. Government decided the direction.
Mm.
In terms of their national agenda and goals and aspiration, IUM follows suit. The TVET follows suit, listening to that and seeing the direction. They start aligning their course curriculum.
Now, I think for us to move in the same direction, we need a certain high level of collaboration. I was speaking to one of the academicians from IUM. Then he stated to say, "No, guys. For us to move forward, institutions must move away from these things of competing. That's why we end up making a lot of mistakes, and our graduates are going to suffer. Because if we sit on one table and share this, what do we have on the table, and how can we move forward? I think that will also solve the problems and also collaborate between academic institutions and also government. What do you think about that?"
Yeah, it's not about government alone, also the private sector. Look, when it comes to between government and institutions, IUM is supposed to get the agenda already.
Mm-hmm.
Like NDP 6, this is NDP 6, the draft.
Yeah.
IUM is supposed to be at the table
when
that document is being drafted.
Mm.
Namibia, NTA, National Training Affairs, need to be at the table when that document is being drafted.
Yeah.
The same thing with UNAM, the same thing with Elvichia, the same thing with NAST. They need to be at the table at the beginning of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So that when now the document is done,
it's
just not being released that this is the direction. No. The direction need people who are going to steer the ship.
Yeah.
And the IUM, NAST, and UNAM, and TVET are already making sure what they are producing, they are supporting the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
The failure that we say government failed, it's not always that government failed. Government, they have actually given us a direction.
Yeah.
It's the certain institution that's supposed to provide the government support that they have failed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also the communication between these institutions and government.
Mm.
And sometimes communication is not me calling Tate Matengo that I have a document. No. Tate Matengo, I fund you. You're supposed to be supporting this naturally. You're supposed to be supporting this naturally. Like now what they are doing with the rice and art, that is beautiful.
Yeah.
That is what they're supposed to be doing, not to be told.
Mm.
As once the document is done, all of them, they're supposed to be aligning, providing the necessary skill set. Just looking at it, providing two or three, you know, look, when you went to school to visit our cousin, if you look in the classes of accounting and the class of economy, it was full of people.
Yeah.
That is not at UNAM. They're just accepting left and right.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
was it guided by the demand from the private sector or from the economy? No. It was just because it is the known one.
I hear you.
And that is now the model they need to change. Start producing smaller numbers in line with the agenda of the country.
Mm.
And as soon as now hyphen say our feasibility is positive, then now you increase the intake because you know more solar people are going to be needed, more wind technologies are going to be needed.
Mm.
That is the type of model from my point of view. I think it will solve our supply issues because demand is very tricky, and demand need to be assessed all the time.
Because,
what
uh-huh.
is being demanded now?
Because it's changing every time.
It's changing every time. Look, F&B is going robotic
at
many intervals.
Yeah.
When we started doing these things, the banks were expanding branches.
Yeah.
But now the banks are reducing branches. They are going more digital. You see?
Okay. No, that is very scary, but it's a truth on the table. Now, let us look at the problem that we have now, because how easy is it to transform somebody who already went to school? How easy it is to transform somebody who already went to school? Let me say, we spoke about somebody who did agriculture, economics, or horticulture, but to move that person to the next level of that field of addition of value, for example, how easy it is, because we still have that crisis that we did not yet address of having a lot of people not absorbed by the market, but they still have certain level of skill and also understanding.
What did you study again if you went to school unlike me?
Yeah.
What did you study?
It's political economy.
Now look at you. You are in radio.
Yeah. I hear you.
You are in radio.
But I'm always flexible. That was my yeah.
You are not always flexible.
Yeah.
No, you are following the commercial value.
Yeah.
In whatever is available.
Yeah.
We say we are flexible. No, it's not about flexibility.
Yeah.
No, it's about commercial value.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the value deriving on the skills that you have.
Yeah.
So we are more. Look, the labor supply is flexible.
Okay.
The labor supply is flexible, meaning individuals are flexible to move where they find value.
Mm.
But the main stumbling block is here. Do they know where value is?
Mm.
Do they know what the national agenda says? Do they know the direction of the economy, the new sector, the emerging sectors?
Yeah.
No. So in our communication of what is coming, we need to do better.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will only adjust my skill set and reskill depending on what I had is now better.
Yeah.
And just to add, that's why Namibian people are stuck. Studying accounting, studying nursing, studying education. Why?
Yeah.
That is the only thing that they know. We have not communicated effectively as economists and as media to them that these are the emerging sector.
Yeah.
And there is a cultural thing in terms of accepting when you come to Namibian. We do not accept new things. Look at how we are treating green hydrogen. We have a culture of non-acceptance of anything alien related.
Until it works.
Until it works. I'm saying, kids are now becoming ambassadors, which is really, really beautiful.
Yeah.
But back then when green hydrogen started, everybody was like, oh my God, we don't.
Yeah.
So you see, and people are saying, I'm seeing, people are angry at what many people are saying. Why is government giving a priority to green hydrogen? It's not even going to create a lot of jobs. I say it's not government. No. It's just that Mosheko, Nyupe, and everybody there are doing their job more than other departments in government in terms of visibility.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's not that the government is putting more pressure. No. Those colleagues are just creating visibility like everybody's supposed to do. And now they're actually not undermining in terms of willingness. No.
Yeah.
They are just doing their job. And if every sector could do the same. There is a lady at the agronomic board called me Emily. When we started reporting on agriculture, this memo was available. Nino, you don't do it. Nino, you see?
Yeah.
We were writing, we were having conversation on radio. I love the way she put agriculture.
Yeah.
And that is what we need to do to tell people, to tell the labor market that this is the direction. It needs effort and people available to explain things. And like once you do that, labor is flexible. Even though in theory, we don't say so. Labor is very flexible. We are able to reskill. And to my last point, in Namibia, we are so fixated about PhDs and masters.
Yeah.
Now, the argument I have, I tell people, I have no use of a master anymore. I have no use of a PhD. Guys, I'm doing a certificate and a training and seminar to reskill myself.
Yeah.
I'm just adjusting my skill set.
Yeah.
Like, because the economy is moving fast, I cannot go do any more PhD in political whatever. I'm sorry, guys. At the age many of you guys are, you need to reskill. Reskilling, in my definition, is you doing those smaller diplomas.
Training. Yeah.
Just for you to get a certificate, to be able to do digital whatever, to be able to you to do. That is called reskilling and you adjusting yourself to move into new sectors that are emerging.
Yes,
it's not always about a degree.
Yeah, 4 years.
By the time you finish your 4 years, we are moving.
We moved to robotics. Then we have to come back again. So
then you have to come back again.
Yes, just 1 point before I let you go. Just 1 point, just to look at, I wanted to touch on, I don't know how much time you have. I wanted to touch on the 2026, the aspect of, free education. Just your view on it and, how should we enter that space?
And before I go there. I'm sure there is two people that have PhD or that have mastered that are listening. I'm not insulting you. I'm just being a practical of the colleagues.
Yeah.
Our ability to move from economics to the media to this and this.
Yeah.
Because we went back to school to get a degree, to get a master every time.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
We are getting the smaller certificate. We are attending those trainings.
Yeah.
And that is what we call reskilling and upgrading our skill. Upgrading our skilling and mindset of many Namibians is going back to the university. And it's very expensive actually to do a degree. You'll spend 100,000 and when you come back, we've moved. So reskilling is the certificate and is the diploma. And I'm actually urging the institution of higher learning to come up with those short courses. Courses to enable young people to upgrade and reskill as fast as possible in line with the developing sector. So I'm not really saying a master is there, a PhD is there. No, I'm just saying, guys, the economy and the sectors that are emerging are moving faster. And we need to upgrade to be able to move there. If we can't, it's going to be problematic. We're going to get people to come here. So I just wanted to provide that clarity because me and my friends are fighting.
They'll definitely fight you. But just that on tertiary education and just 2 seconds on that to say what is the future looking like? Is 2026 is already at the door?
It's a matter of planning. Until now, the government and the university have not even clarified how that model is going to be implemented, the free one.
Yeah.
We, and I, look, I don't like pointing fingers and blaming people, but collectively have already failed. Because if until now we have not clarified in the model of how we're going to adopt it and the funding, we are setting up ourselves for failure. I'm part of the system, you're part of our system. You're supposed to write and make noise.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to give advisory in platform where I can get.
Yeah.
We are already failing because we clarity in an economy is very important, David.
Yeah.
Money moves because of clarity. That is very, very important. And if until now we cannot provide, Madam Steenkamp, I love Madam Steenkamp. She's one of the people who communicate, and I think perhaps you guys can just call her again to say, what is the clarity on free education? Because 2026 is already here. What is the clarity?
Yeah.
So that money can move, so that we can plan.
Mm.
So it's very difficult even to give a prediction of how 2026 will go.
Mm.
If there is no clarity on how that model is going to be implemented at the various institutions, until that is given, we do not have a direction.
Yes, thank you for your input and thank you for your time.
All right, sir.
All right, cool. Yes, you got it. Yes, you got it. You got it. That is, Vinovari Hangala. It's Kanyoka Mkwanyoka. And he's very clear about his point and direction, particularly in the aspect of education, the aspect of tertiary education, spoke more on issues of value addition, to say although there are progress done in agriculture, there is still a gap in terms of skills, especially when it's coming to where we want to go as in terms of our plan, because we have a plan, but we don't have right weapons on how we are going to fight that war. Although there are things that have been done well. And just an aspect of, academic institutions and also government and also industrial leaders sitting on one table, because otherwise what you plan out will always come out, or the truth will always come out to say you are not communicating, you are not coordinating, and evidence are there, but let's see how we are going to get. In terms of the market, now he pointed out there to say the market is, the market is flexible. The market is flexible, and the demands change with time. That's why the issue of access to short courses, access to trainings, diplomas, and also short courses that can make you flexible very fast, who allow you to move forward. And just look at also what you can contribute to the market at that point, because if you already have a foundation, you can also be able to move somewhere, because this economy that you are dealing with, or situations that we are dealing with, require somebody to learn very fast, because by the time you are done, the course that you are studying is replaced by a robot. Then you are required to do another degree in robotic science. By the time you are done with that, robots are so advanced to that extent that you get so exhausted. And he made it very clear that he's not anti-academics. But it's more crucial to look at what skills are needed. Because there is this thing of we think qualification is work, and we think qualification is achievement. That's why you have people with a doctorate in business management, but they cannot run a tuck shop, just an ordinary tuck shop. You can't run it. You are a business graduate with MBA and PhD in business, but you cannot run a tuck shop, because we talk about environment and practicality of things. So let us look at our caller and see. Yes, you can still call back. Call back at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. You're asking yourself to say, if there is more money in business, why should my professor of business management cannot leave his job for another person to get that training? or he's just interested in training business people. Why is the lecturer of entrepreneurship does not have a business? Ask yourself that question. It's a lecturer of entrepreneurship. Ask if you are studying entrepreneurship and management, if you are studying MBA. Ask your professor to take you one day to his business that he has, or then you understand what you are dealing with. Then you understand what you are dealing with. Actually, those people with short courses or those people who have practical experience are the ones who are running institutions successfully. But those who are academics, yes, there are those who are doing well. That is, there's no doubt about that. But looking at the situation of education and practicality, I think that thing need to be well clarified. Looking for, so you can engage us at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. As a caller online, you can just call back because your view matters. You can just call back and see. So we have around 17 minutes before the hour of 8. We have around 17 minutes before the hour of 8. And this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we are looking at the aspect of how is the future of our education, because 2026 is not 4 months from now. There is just 2 months. And just know that there is just 2 months before 2026. Actually, 2 months and few days. Then we are already here. We enter 2026. Here we enter. And they already start thinking about 2030. And looking at how... Hello?
Hey, David Sombe.
Yes, Chief.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
We thank God.
always.
Yeah. Thank you very much for bringing Kanjengo Kwanyoka here.
Yeah, Kanjengo is straightforward and he hit on the head.
We have benefited now from the space and the courage, actually.
Yeah.
Somebody who was really sacrificially, and he went around to make sure that people get this economic information.
Yeah.
And they also, like you say, to adapt.
Yeah.
Adapt and be flexible to the environment.
Yeah.
What is happening there?
Yeah.
In the functional case that you are talking about.
Okay, just hold on 1 second.
At ShopRite, we're celebrating 35 years of lower prices with unbeatable deals. Let's mark the occasion with savings on essentials like 2-liter Rife brand sunflower seed oil for just $69.99. 5 kg Marathon fine white sugar, only $94.99. Valid until 7 September 2025. Don't miss out on these deals. ShopRite, lower prices you can trust always. Plus, stand to win your groceries for free at ShopRite. Buy any 3 participating products. Find the unique code on your till slip. WhatsApp it to us and see if you're a winner. Plus, there are instant daily prizes to be won only at ShopRite.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Yes, let's move forward.
Sorry, man. You know what I was saying is that I was just trying to re-emphasize the importance of the functional skill.
Yeah.
That we need to adopt.
Yeah.
And we need to also, like you said, adapt to the environment.
Yeah.
So, you know, Kanjengo Kwanyoka, I was just making that kind of a remark.
Yeah.
Because he was really, yesterday I think or so, was talking about realignment.
Yeah.
How to realign ourselves, our capabilities,
yeah,
to our task, what is it there in the market to do.
Yeah.
And you see, there are many things. Anybody can become an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So you might not have picked up in your models or subjects at schools.
Yeah.
Because it's just a fraction of the thing. There is not... you know, but as of now, there are people that are learning concepts and all this teaching and learning. They are integrating those kind of things. But it requires somebody to go out of the box now.
Yeah.
As a teacher, as a facilitator, as whoever, to make sure that these functional skills that you learn after maybe your diploma, your certificate or whatever, is very crucial.
Yeah.
Very crucial, because that is now something that we strategically position you in the labor market. So like Kanjogan Panjira used to tell us, it was actually during that period when COVID and all these things, there was a student from VTC who was saying, always calling and say, we need to have this project management subject incorporated into their modules. And I've also not seen it when I was doing this motor mechanic. I was doing also welding and fabrication at VTC there.
Oh.
But I was not told you how to do the
So you are quite, you diversify your skills.
Yeah, but some of these skills, we are not going to use them anymore, because we are now occupied by this, as an important one. Yeah. Although they are also very important.
But learning is a good thing. I love learning, and I think having a skill, there is always time, you even if you are not using it at that point, it's easy for you to advise a person.
In fact, when you find yourself in the village, or anywhere you find yourself.
Yeah.
You know how to design your things, your katemba.
Yeah.
You know how to do all those of anything. And in fact, these functional skills are very, very, very crucial. And they don't take long. Sometimes they just tell you skill upgrading.
Yeah.
And the university, and I think you also, Kanjogan Panjoka also pointed the direction there, that so it is up to the institution.
Yeah.
So are the institution willing to ensure, at least, let's use that word, to ensure.
Yeah.
Even though my boss always used to tell me, no, you want us to be ensure, you know, it's a lie. You want us to be ensure. Are we having the capacity to ensure that, yes, they must ensure that, yes, the people are getting the relevant skills and knowledge.
Yeah.
So if, for example, we have the university, and we also think that upskilling and whatever. So we want them to now look at this solar panels.
Yeah.
And those guys, you know, this thing was piloted a long time ago.
Yeah.
To those VTC.
Yeah.
Where are those young ones? Are they now becoming instructor? Maybe whether it's at you, not only NAST.
Yeah.
I know NAST, they have got a very full component of that technical.
I think they did well. They even I think it's a, what do they call it? Vocational training, I think there is a course I understand of trainers of vocational training.
Okay, it has, that has been there.
Yeah.
It has been there even, you know, when this, you know, this way, the Komazda one.
Oh.
The Komazda one was a technical.
Mm-hmm.
So then before that, and then you have put. So now I know that, you know, it has been integrated there. But we want them to be on full swing. Full swing, because what is happening in the market now is more about digitally, and like Kanjel said, the people are now no longer putting their bands in the things in the villages. So people are using, but we do not have access to those things, neither the knowledge we have. We are just picking up these digitally technological devices, and because of this e-learning, online learning, and you know, and it's a challenge. It is a challenge to us.
Yeah.
I'm just saying now, you know. So, but we know we seriously need to make sure that we diversify our skills.
Yeah.
And those skills, those functional skills that you're talking about, whether you want to go into agriculture, whether you want to go in any way, you need functional skills.
Yeah.
So then I want to emphasize more on this, add that a non-formal education.
Uh-huh.
Add that a non-formal education.
Yeah.
So this is the course that used to be, I don't know how to be deleted. They look at it, when they say, I'm doing that non-formal education. People used to ask me, even the professor at the university.
Yeah.
Do you want to go and teach literacy?
Yeah, literacy.
So, but you are doing all rounds of it, development.
Mm.
Development. We are talking about community development more specifically.
I think community development is at the center of that, because at the end of the day, it's at the community level where you have to make sure that you change lives, because if you don't do that at the community level, especially in terms of, because number one is information, right information, because when I'm coming to give you information, you already have those information, or you already made up conclusion about what I'm going to give you. Do you know that people like anticipating even things that they do not even know? Then that is very dangerous in the community.
That's why we are saying the development.
Yeah.
We are talking about bottom up approach.
Yes.
So anything that you want to do there, the development must start with the people. People must identify their own needs themselves. They must also identify the resources.
Mm.
How to do everything is up to them, because they are the ones who are impacted by the development that you want to bring there.
Yeah.
No, you want to go there as a university graduate, thinking that you are going to teach people how to develop.
Yes.
How to address their needs.
Thank you.
Welcome. So we continue with this topic.
Yeah.
So, but the other thing is that, let me conclude with this thing.
In conclusion. So you say always as a conclusion.
Remember, how people are mocking about green hydrogen.
Yeah.
And the other one also mentioned that, sometimes we just mock.
Yeah.
We don't make fun of these things. Now we are seeing these things taking place. See?
Yeah.
Going on. But the people who used to mock, telling you, I can just tell you, they are now quiet. But this green hydrogen will not work. It's a German thing. It's what I understand. The concept can come from anywhere.
Yeah, but the challenges are always there. But because of time, thank you very much.
Welcome.
All right.
Yes, we have around 5 minutes before we come to the end of our program. Before I give the mic to Mike Oshoveri to unpack the day, I think the center of argument here is that the market, the demand is always changing, and Kanjango was right, because a lot of people think I'm a journalist. Yes, I'm a journalist by training, but I'm a political scientist. Actually, I studied politics, just like the way you go to school and study nursing. Me, I did that. I studied politics, and I was actually good with it. And from there, you have to upgrade and be flexible, because you don't want to be positioned at one place. And that is how you find yourself on the radio, because it's actually connecting to see what skills that I got from university that I can add to. Am I willing to learn? Because I can't be positioned at one place and just say I must become a political scientist, become a political advisor, or work within a space of that political research and governance. Yes, it's good, but it's a matter of, are you flexible enough to see, are you flexible enough to apply the skills that you have, or the skills that you have learned from university? Because going through various trainings and also see how things are being done, I actually realized to say, it's not really about those who are better at the academic level, but it's about those who are willing to learn. Because is it Bruce Lee who said that there is no law that can beat the law of flexibility? There is no law on earth that can beat the law of flexibility, because it says you must be like water. If you are put in a cup, the water take any shape that it. If you put the water in a bucket, it will take a shape of that. And that's why it's quite important, especially looking at this economy, to see, because when you come from vocational training, there is always skills that you have and note down those skills. If you are not able to note them down, go online and see. Because sometimes you need to look at it from the other side to say, what skills did I get from nursing that I can use in business, or what other skills I can use with a diploma in law, for example, or with a degree in law. Because a lot of people have this thing who say, if you study LLB, you must go and become you admitted at the bar. You write JTC, or what do they call it? This certification of you practicing law. Actually, you can enter business. You become a commercial lawyer. You can become an advisor. You become a contract. There is actually a lot of things that you can do with one degree. But it's how you position yourself, and also how you read the market, because you cannot cry to say, I'm just a teacher and I love teaching and I'm not going anywhere. It's either teaching or nothing. With that, it's very difficult because the demand is always changing. Otherwise, if you are a teacher and you don't know technology, a lot of teachers were forced to know this. It was very interesting to see during COVID-19 to say, no, everything is now going to move online. And there were those teachers who did not want to have smartphone. They just have their katoche to say, no, those things are for young people. But they say, no, there is a lesson going to be given on Zoom. We are now on Zoom. All the parents must go to WhatsApp. The world is changing. But if you are not willing, there are those who were so frustrated and they have to use the phones of their kids to say, people are apparently on Zoom. What is that? Apparently they are on WhatsApp. Things are changing. And, the principal uploaded something. How do you do this document? But that is what happened when you do not want to learn. There were teachers who did not want to learn this technological stuff. There were also those who could not even, use or open a computer. Because they just at their old fashion of BEC, BETD, and do not want to change. But there were also those who managed to change and upgrade themselves until they got to high, institutions, and also make it easier for them. So I think it's a matter of flexibility and also reading how the weather is. Because other than that, it's going to be very difficult. It's already difficult, and it's not going to be easy soon. That's why it's a matter of us getting right information and also be real to say, this is what you can do. So, due to time, I think, it's time to give the mic to Mike to unpack the day. It's time to give the mic to Mike to unpack the day. And do not forget to read the Villager newspaper. It's coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And tomorrow it's also coming out. And do not forget to like and share our page. Share the page of the Villager newspaper, and also share the page of Eagle FM. And download the app. Just download the app. Not the app, so that you not miss out. Yes, I will leave you in the good hands of Mike Oshoveri to unpack the day. And bye-bye for now.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura
money.
Right. Because I grew up in Katatura and I will not hesitate.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM,